next speaker is Kevin Laskowski, speaking on effects of ethylene treatments on the survival of annual bluegrass under ice stress.
Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Fontenier. So creeping bentgrass and annual bluegrass, which are two commonly used putting green species in northern climates in the United States and as well as the world, are very susceptible to ice stress and ice cover. Here is pictured a photo from the Hancock Research Turfgrass Center in East Lansing from 2014. This would have been late winter, just showing our ice cover that we get here in Michigan, or up north in Michigan. Don't have too much of that down here in Florida. So some of the causes of this ice formation could be, from our bottom picture, poor drainage in putting green surfaces. As you see, a ponding of water on the putting green during the winter that will freeze and then cause some ice problems. Other types of situations, such as the top left photo, severe weather such as ice storms. And then one of the most common things that happens, at least in Michigan, is we get a snow cover. After the snow cover occurs, we do have warmer temperatures during the day during the winter, melt some of the snow, and then the snow refreezes at the nighttime, forming a barrier across the putting green surface. After this ice kind of forms, we do have a couple different types of ice that form, such as a porous ice layer as well as a non-porous. Now, this porous ice kind of allows for these gases to exchange. And with that, you can exchange such as oxygen and carbon dioxide with our putting green surfaces to continue respiration throughout the winter. And then you also have a situation where you have a non-porous ice cover, whereas this forms an impermeable barrier across the putting green surface, not allowing for this gas exchange, kind of suffocating the turf, as well as you can build up other types of gases, such as ethyl butyrate, which is damaging to cell membranes. Here is kind of a great picture taken by Dr. Frank at the Turfgrass Research Center, kind of showing the differences in these two species. It's been shown in previous research that creeping bentgrass can survive for up to 100 days under ice cover and be fine, whereas annual bluegrass has shown to be able to survive 75 to 90 days, and even in more recent research shown as soon as 45 days, you will see significant necrosis occurring. So kind of looking at the picture here, we see our creeping bentgrass, which appears to be seems to be okay. Just above that, you have annual bluegrass, which appears to be coming back. Past that, you have our annual bluegrass that appears to be necrotic or dead, and then you have an annual bluegrass just above that that seems to be okay. So our question was, what makes the differences in these putting green species? Why is there this big difference? Some ideas that we have is we have past recent research that I've conducted myself on fatty acid changes going into acclimation with chemical applications. We see here products such as mifluidide or propiconazole cause this kind of switch in fatty acids. So fatty acids we looked at were saturated and unsaturated. The more unsaturated fatty acid you have, the more fluid a membrane can be, the more tolerant to some ice stress or winter type stresses. The more saturated fatty acids you have, the less tolerant it could be, the more rigid membrane, so it could freeze and penetrate those types of membranes easier. In untreated control and our trinexapec ethyl treatment, you kind of see that you had the opposite shift, where we have more saturated fatty acids and less of the unsaturated fatty acids. There's also been noted research and change in antioxidant activity. Looking at a perennial ryegrass here, I have highlighted kind of after the first week, it's has less antioxidant activity when you compare it to the fourth week of activity. And another big one is the hormone ethylene, which I've shown in past research under traffic and drought stress has shown in annual bluegrass to produce more ethylene than compared to creeping bentgrass. Now, kind of to talk a little bit more about ethylene, is we have it's a senescence hormone. It's common in fruit ripening. It's also known to be involved in other pathways to cause, like I said, senescence or cell death. In some different crops, such as winter ryegrass or rye, has more ethylene concentration, has increased survival to winter conditions. Whereas in warm season turf grasses, effective ethylene applications has shown that it decreases the survivability to these winter stresses. So our hypothesis for this research was effective ethylene promotion products will decrease the survivability in our annual bluegrass, whereas ethylene inhibition products will increase our survivability. And then we also wanted to look at how does this ethylene regulation differ or change these different attributes metabolically, such as antioxidant activity or fatty acid production. So objectives were to evaluate these ethylene regulation products under field conditions where we measured respiration rates as well as an ethylene gas production. And then we wanted to take that from the field and go to the growth chamber with it and look at kind of our fatty acids and antioxidant as well as carbohydrate analyses. So for our field materials and methods, what we have is we have our annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass plots. We applied these particular treatments in starting in early October through mid-November. We have our ACC and Ethafon treatments, which are our effective ethylene treatments. Then we had our AVG and a retain product, which is a commercially available product for inhibition of ethylene. And then we included a untreated control and then a urea treatment just to kind of look at a crown hydration type aspect with urea. Some measurements in the field we did respiration rates, some NDVI, so normalized difference vegetation index, as well as the visual aspects and ethylene production measured through gas chromatography. Once our treatments or our plots were acclimated in the winter, they then were transferred to a low-temperature growth chamber. We took four-inch cup cutter plugs in the mid-November, transferred them to our low-temperature growth chamber where half of them were put under an ice stress, so water was slowly misted over these plugs until a 1.25 centimeter layer of ice was formed. After being in the growth chamber for 0, 10, 20, 40, or 80 days, they then were removed at those time points, allowed to thaw, and then half the plug went towards a regrowth assay in the greenhouse, and then the other half of the plug went towards our destructive sampling for antioxidants and fatty acids. Some other measurements we did, like I said, we did our fatty acid and antioxidant measurements from our turf grass leaf tissue, our shoot tissue, and our root tissue. Our experimental design was four replications and a completely randomized block design with a Fisher's least protected significant difference test at P equals 0.05 level. Some results we had was our ethylene production. We saw that so to set it up on our y-axis, we had a rate of production of ethylene, and on our x-axis, we have date, and then we had our treatments you see over here on the right side with ACC and Ethafon on the top, the blue and purple, and you see in annual bluegrass, we had significant differences with more ethylene production with that ACC and Ethafon treatment. In creeping bentgrass, we only saw increased ethylene gas with our Ethafon treatment. Some whole plant respiration rates, we see our Ethafon treatment again increases CO2 production in annual bluegrass and our creeping bentgrass when compared to the untreated control. Looking at our growth chamber results of our non-ice covered plugs, we see we did get significance at 20 days and 80 days with our Ethafon treatment producing a lot less regrowth compared to the untreated control. However, in our non-ice covered, you'll notice at 80 days that our urea treatment was much higher than our untreated control treatment was. But we kind of see the opposite effect in our ice cover treatment, where the urea treatment no longer has greater regrowth than our untreated control. However, our ethylene or Ethafon treatment still had reduced growth in both 40 and 80 days under ice cover. We did see, however, that our ACC and our AVG treatment both had greater regrowth than some of our other treatments, such as Retain or urea. So we're looking further into that with our second year of research. Some images we had for our sampling, zero-day sample, you get really good regrowth after still. However, after 80 days, you kind of see our treatments such as the second one here. That would be our Ethafon treatment, showing very little regrowth at this stage after 80 days of no ice cover. However, in 80 days of ice cover, you see a little less regrowth with that continuing. Just a few results for our antioxidant activity, such as ascorbate peroxidase. You have the activity per fresh rate on the left or y-axis, and then our days at minus 4 degrees Celsius on our x-axis. And we see here in our ice cover that our AVG and ACC treatment had increased antioxidant activity. And you see the same thing in our non-ice cover, except you do have the urea treatment up there as well in the non-ice covered situation. Superoxide dismutase, we have our Ethafon treatment having decreased levels of activity in both our ice covered and non-ice covered situation. And then looking at lipid peroxidation through melanol dialdehyde content in our leaf tissue. In our ice covered, you see our Ethafon had increased lipid peroxidation as well as our urea treatment. And then in our non-ice covered treatments, we see urea and our AVG treatment at 80 days have less content or less lipid peroxidation at this point. And in some fatty acids, this is of zero-day fatty acids in our crown. We didn't see too many significant differences between our other at our leaf or our root tissues. We did see that our urea treatment had decreased palmitoleic acid content. However, at 80 days, we do see a few more significant differences, focusing on our palmitic acid, or our saturated fatty acid, and our linoleic acid. At our 16-0, so palmitic acid, we see Ethafon and untreated have increased contents of the saturated fatty acid, whereas our linoleic acid was decreased in, was increased in our AVG as well as our retain and ACC portion here. For the crown, we saw a similar situation. However, at our saturated fatty acid, our AVG and retain treatment had decreased saturated fatty acids and had increased unsaturated fatty acids after 80 days in our crown tissue. Some conclusions we have was our ACC and Ethafon treatment increased respiration and ethylene rates in our field turf. And then both ACC and AVG treatments kind of increased growth after 80 days in our growth chamber experiment. We also saw that some of our antioxidant activity was decreased by our ethylene or effective ethylene treatment, Ethafon, and then our treatments for lipid peroxidation were increased by those treatments. Some future directions we want to kind of look at were some of these other precursors in the ethylene pathway to see if they may play a role. Just want to acknowledge the Ontario Turf Grass Research Foundation, Michigan Turf Grass Foundation, and the Ag Bio Research of MSU for funding this project, and I'd like to thank my advisors, Dr. Emily Merowitz, Dr. Kevin Frank, and the HTRC farm crew for helping me with this project. And if there's time, any questions? So the question was, what was the concentration of Ethafon I was using? So I was using a label rate, so our Ethafon product was Proxy, which is commonly used in turf grass. The rate I used was a label rate that's supposed to be applied every 2 weeks. However, what I did was I cut that in half and applied it weekly. So it could definitely play a role in how the results turn out versus applying weekly or every 2 weeks. So the question was actually looking at the membrane permeability. So yeah, so we could potentially take this and look at some other aspects such as an electrolyte leakage perhaps, or even some other types of ways of measuring
membrane permeability to